Rising here on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Theater and dance first up. Sex, Secrets, and Equality, Sandy Rustin's The Cottage, has a sharp, funny, feminist edge. Alleyway Theater is opening its fall season with Sandy Rustin's The Cottage, running September 15th through the 27th, fresh off its recent Broadway run. This play is described as a brand new, old-fashioned British farce set in a lavish English country estate in 1923. The Cottage is wildly entertaining and outrageously funny romantic comedy where secrets fly, alliances shift, and passions ignite. With sharp wit, unexpected twists, including a potentially murderous plot, and a dazzling mix of sex, betrayal, and laughter, the show promises to keep audiences gasping and giggling right up to the final curtain. For Rustin, the inspiration for The Cottage reaches back to her college years when she first encountered the world of Noel Coward. When I was in college, I did a Noel Coward production of Hay Fever, where I played Sorrel. I loved it. I had the most fun. The designer had this vision of champagne and cigarettes, so the whole set felt bubbly and heightened. I thought it was so cool. So when my musical Rated P for Parenthood closed in New York and I was ready to write my next play, I thought back to my time with Hay Fever. I dug deep into Noel Coward's body of work because I wanted to know everything about his plays. I loved Hay Fever, the rhythm, the style, all of it, but I didn't love how the women were often portrayed. In many of his plays, they're in service to the male character's story. Rustin's deep dive into Coward's work sparked the idea for something new, a play rooted in the world of his comedies, but with a fresh twist. I wondered what would happen if I tried to create a play in the style of Noel Coward, but with women at the center, a story about and for women. That's what I set out to do. The play spent nearly a decade in development before making its Broadway debut, and Rustin credits its success to the time invested in letting the work evolve. It's been a deliciously long developmental process, one where I've been able to learn so much and take in wisdom from all kinds of smart, wonderful, talented people, as well as from the world around me. I was always paying attention to what was happening, what was becoming important to me, and thinking, if I was going to be given a platform, what did I want to say? And how could I say it in my own comedic style? That spoonful of sugar kind of vibe, said Rustin, adding, it was definitely a journey to find that balance. Even when we began rehearsals for the Broadway show, I still had a lot of question marks. Can you pull off the heightened comedy and still earn those moments that ring true and make audiences think? There were a lot of changes and tweaks throughout the process. This long road of development resonates deeply with Alleyway Theater's own mission. As Buffalo's home for new plays, Alleyway is dedicated to supporting living playwrights and championing bold original voices. Presenting The Cottage not only gives audiences the chance to see a Broadway hit on a local stage, but also underscores the importance of nurturing new work, reminding us why investment in contemporary playwriting matters to the future of theater. Ultimately, Rustin hopes audiences enjoy the ride, but also walk away reflecting on something deeper. They buy a ticket expecting a sexy summer comedy, and they get that. But they also walk out thinking, oh, right, there was a message there I want to reflect on and talk about, adding. The show brings up conversations about marriage, fidelity, gender equality, all of those underlying principles. My hope is that people leave thinking about those things, but with a smile on their face because they also had a fun night. Playing at Alleyway Theater through September 27th, The Cottage invites Buffalo audiences to enjoy a sharp, laugh-out-loud comedy brimming with quick wit and outrageous fun, delivered with a fresh, contemporary twist. Tickets on sale now. Next from the Investigative Post, doors open for Buffalo 2025. 35 downtown locations will be open to the public as part of Explore Buffalo's annual Doors Open Buffalo event, Saturday, September 20th. This is a unique opportunity to visit downtown buildings on a Saturday, including landmarks that are usually closed on weekends, including City Hall, County Hall, Guarantee Building, and M&T Gold Dome Bank at Fountain Plaza. Each year, more than 5,000 people visit downtown Buffalo to check out downtown's historic landmarks, cultural organizations, theaters, and more. Doors Open Buffalo is a special opportunity each year to experience all that downtown has to offer. History, architecture, culture, and more, says Explore Buffalo Executive Director Brad Hahn. We are grateful to all of our 35 partner locations that are opening their doors this year, including businesses, governments, theaters, museums, and churches. This year, as part of the Erie Canal Bicentennial Celebration, Doors Open Buffalo includes an Erie Canal Trail, sponsored by the Erie Canal National Heritage Corridor and New York State Canal Corporation, with locations including the Waterway of Change exhibit at Canal Side, the Buffalo Maritime Center's Erie Canal Boat Seneca Chief, Buffalo Naval Park Hangar Building, and the Buffalo Harbor Museum. Doors Open Buffalo also features a family-friendly trail sponsored by CSUN of locations hosting kids-friendly activities. The Michigan Street African American Heritage Corridor will have three participating locations in Doors Open Buffalo 2025, including the recently restored Michigan Street Baptist Church and the Nash House Museum. Time tickets required for the Nash House, by the way. At the Michigan Street African American Heritage Corridor headquarters, the Voices and Votes, Democracy in America traveling exhibition from the Smithsonian Institute's Museum on Main Street program will be on display for visitors. Most Doors Open Buffalo visitors visit 5 to 10 locations as part of Doors Open Buffalo. It's nearly impossible to visit all of the locations, and the event is designed for everyone to pick and choose which locations they want to see. There's something for everyone, notes Hahn. And my suggestion is to include at least one place you've never been and maybe even heard of. You'll be surprised what you can find downtown. While you're downtown, be sure to stop in a downtown restaurant for coffee, lunch, or drinks after touring Doors Open Buffalo. Some downtown cafes and restaurants that are normally closed on weekends are open for Doors Open Buffalo. Free event registration is required to help Explore Buffalo know how many people are coming and where they're coming from. You can check in at any participating location, and printed event maps will be available to pick up at any event location. You can also use Google Maps to guide you around the event. Most locations are open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Be sure to check the map and building details, as some of the locations have limited hours. From 9 to 10 a.m. is a dedicated quiet hour for visitors with sensory needs, with four locations available: M&T's Gold Dome Bank, Hotel at the Lafayette, the Downtown Library, and the Buffalo Presidential Center. Tickets are required for several locations, like Big Ditch Brewery tours. They are sold out. Explore and More, free family admission or guided tours, Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield at the 36th floor of Seneca One, and the Nash House Museum. On Thursday, September 18th, Explore Buffalo and Buffalo Niagara Waterkeeper are teaming up to host a downtown clean sweep to help. They're going to help clean the streets and sidewalks around downtown Doors Open Buffalo and Curtain Up. The first 50 people to register and perform the cleanup on September 18th will earn a drink ticket at 42 North Brewery in Buffalo. Let's make the city shine as we welcome thousands of visitors to our area. On September 20th, the event hub is located at the Buffalo Convention Center on Franklin Street. Starting there is a great option, especially if you have questions about the event, though you can start at any location. All locations are located within 1 mile of the convention center, and visitors are encouraged to walk or bike around downtown. Every year, for Doors Open Buffalo, it's great to see downtown streets come to life on a Saturday, with all the visitors for Doors Open Buffalo going from one building to the next, adds Hahn. It's exciting to see so many people enthusiastic about discovering downtown Buffalo's historic landmarks and more. Doors Open Buffalo is made possible as a free event thanks to sponsor funders including Simonelli Real Estate, the Margaret L. Wendt Foundation, Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield, Uniland Development, Buffalo Spree, Visit Buffalo Niagara, CSUN, Hunt Real Estate, Lawley, National Fuel, Seneca Gaming, and West Her. This event is funded in part through the generous support of the New York State Canal Corporation and the Erie Canal National Heritage Corridor. Additional support is provided by the City of Buffalo and Erie County. Explore Buffalo's programs are made possible by the New York State Council on the Arts with the support of the Office of the Governor and the State New York Legislature. If you're listening to this publication online, you're probably using our website, a podcast player like Spotify or iTunes, a streaming service like Siri or a smart speaker. But did you know that we now have a dedicated app that can be downloaded to any mobile device, like your smartphone or tablet, for free? App users can conveniently access our live stream and any episode from our podcast easier than ever. It really is just one click. To download that app, just type NFRRS in the search window in the Apple App Store or in the Google Play Store. Next article from Buffalo Rising, written by Michael J. Milani, about the natural. It was a sad morning when we learned Robert Redford, an iconic actor and Oscar-winning director, whom I believe began the film renaissance Buffalo enjoys today, died at the age of 89 in his home at Sundance in the mountains of Utah, a place he loved and was surrounded by those he loved. For me, Buffalo Bisons owner Bob Rich, his son Bob Rich III, our front office team with the Bisons back in 1983, and countless Western New York Yorkers, his passing hits home because we all considered Redford one of our own after he spent the latter half of the summer here filming The Natural in the old War Memorial Stadium and many other locations. The Natural was filmed here way before the Buffalo Niagara Film Commission began and when its current commissioner, Tim Clark, was the assignment editor at WKBW-TV. The iconic film was with A-list actors and director Barry Levinson was literally beyond the 11th hour in search of a ballpark, which was the centerpiece of the story when it found the Queen City. Professional baseball in Buffalo had been saved in February of 1983 when Bob Rich and Rich Products purchased the team it still owns and now calls downtown's Salem Field its home. Back when it was a Class AA professional team playing at War Memorial Stadium on Buffalo's east side and affectionately called the Old Rock Pile. I was Bob Rich's first local hire, and Marta Hizweski was mine, and we worked in Rich Products corporate headquarters at the time. That's where Marta received a phone call on Friday, the 13th of May, from a Melbourne site location scout for the movie who asked if Buffalo had a big old bar park. Well, it does, Marta told him. Does it have a lot of seats? An excited Bourne asked. It does, Marta replied. Good, I'll be on the first flight in Monday morning because we begin filming soon for a baseball movie, The Natural, starring Robert Redford. Bourne said before abruptly hanging up. When I inform Bob Rich of the news, he replies, when his brother Sidney calls, take him seriously, before telling me to roll out the red carpet for Mr. Bourne the following Monday. And we did, not knowing whom we were looking for at the airport, but correctly guessing it was a short fellow wearing sunglasses on an overcast day, a sport coat and white T-shirt, no socks, loafers, and carrying an aluminum briefcase. As the limo turned onto Best Street from the Kensington Highway, Mel saw the stadium in the distance and immediately jumped up and screamed for the sunroof to open. He stood there marveling at the sight before grabbing his oversized cell phone, dialing a number before he yelled, Bob, we found it, we found it. As we turned into the ballpark, Bourne was greeted in home plate by Bob, Rich, Bill Gesell Jr., who was Rich's in-house legal counsel back then, and stadium officials. Acknowledging them quickly, he then became the site director, saying, "These seats need to be painted gray. All those advertisements need to come down, and ours must go up. We need to build a scoreboard out there." Rich and Gesell pulled me aside and said, "Whatever he wants, say yes. We can do it, and we will find a way to do it. This movie is real, and we want it filmed here." And that is the backstory of how the movie came to Buffalo and the roles of the Rich family, Rich Products, Mayor Jimmy Griffin, and the City of Buffalo, Governor Mario Cuomo, myself, and our team at Bison Baseball played that summer to make the premiere in 1984 a reality of the sports drama film based on Bernard Malman's 1952 novel of the same name. Levinson directed the film, and the stars were Redford, Glenn Close, Robert Duvall, Kim Basinger, the late Wilford Brimley and Richard Farnsworth, Barbara Hershey, and Robert Prosky. The film was nominated for 4 Academy Awards, including Best Supporting Actress for Close, and nominated for a Golden Globe Award for Best Supporting Actress in Kim Basinger. War Memorial Stadium, now known as the John B. Wiley Sports Pavilion at Jefferson and Best Streets, was Knight Stadium, and the Robert E. Rich All-High Stadium behind Bennett High School was created to resemble Chicago's Wrigley Field. Levinson, the director, and producer Mark Johnson came here soon after Bourne's visit with only the ballpark in mind for the baseball scenes. Once we gave them a tour around the area, much like what Tim Clark does today, they became impressed and found more locations to shoot more of the film here. They love the Ellicott Square building, which was used as a hotel lobby, and Parkside Candy, which became a restaurant. Jim Sandoro, founder of the Pierce Era Museum, arranged for the period cars from the late 1930s. But a huge key was a phone call Bob Rich made to former Governor Mario Cuomo. He asked the governor, who was a former minor league baseball player, if the movie company could use the Maston Street Armory for its offices and the building of sets for indoor shoots. He agreed quickly. They built the Knights Clubhouse and the owner's office, among others. It was a major move that resulted in nearly all of the film shot on location here. The first day of shooting that summer happened in South Dayton for the train scene, with Roy Hobbs, Redford, heading from his home in Nebraska in 1910 to Chicago for a tryout with the Chicago Cubs. On the train, he meets the Whammer, based on Babe Ruth, and sports writer Max Mercy, played by Duvall. At a carnival they created there, Hobbs strikes out the Whammer with just 3 pitches. That set the scene for Hobbs to get a shot in a hotel room in Chicago by a woman who watched the scene at the carnival and who kills herself. South Dayton was also made to look like Nebraska, where the final scene of the movie was filmed. Ted Hobbs, played by Bob Rich III, is playing catch with his dad, Roy Hobbs, Robert Redford, as his mom, Iris Gaines, Glenn Close, watches. She was Hobbs' girlfriend as a kid, growing up, and it was during a meeting in the restaurant that he finds out she has a teenage son whose father lives in New York. The baseball scenes in Buffalo required players for the New York Knights, and visiting teams and local ball players, Kevin Lester, currently the official scorer at Bison's home games, and Duke McGuire, Bison's radio color commentator, were in the movie and also recruited the players. During one of the batting practices before filming began, Redford, who loved baseball and was a big fan of Ted Williams, that's why he wore number 9, did not like any of the bats the crew selected for him. These bats all had his famous Wonder Boy etched into them. "Here, Bob, try this one," Lester said, and he gave the iconic star who played high school baseball with Hall of Fame pitcher Don Drysdale his Louisville Slugger bat. "I like this one," Redford said after lacing hit after hit. That caused a huge problem for the director and the production team. They immediately told Lester to call the company and have a dozen bats here just like that one by tomorrow. Then they would have to redesign it so it would not show the logo and the names that were on Lester's bat. "That will never happen," Lester told Levinson, "but I have an idea. I have a couple of these bats. Let me work on them tonight, and I will be back here tomorrow." So he stayed up that night, sanded them down, and brought them back for the production team to etch Wonder Boy onto the bat. Redford received numerous accolades during his distinguished career, including an Academy Award, a BAFTA Award, and 5 Golden Globe Awards, as well as the Cecil B. DeMille Award in 1994, the Screen Actors Guild Life Achievement Award in 1996, the Academy Honorary Award in 2002, the Kennedy Center Honors in 2005, the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2016, and the Honorary Caesar in 2019. He was named by Time as one of the 100 most influential people in the world in 2014. Redford started his career in television acting in Alfred Hitchcock's Presents and The Twilight Zone before making his Broadway debut, playing a newlywed husband in Neil Simon's Barefoot in the Park. That was in 1963. Redford made his film debut in War Hunt in 1962, before finding leading man stardom acting in Barefoot in the Park, 1967, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, 1969, Jeremiah Johnson, 1972, The Candidate, 1972, and The Sting, 1973, the last of which earned him a nomination for the Academy Award for Best Actor. Redford's stardom continued with roles in films such as The Way We Were in 1973, 3 Days of the Condor, 1975, All the President's Men, 1976, The Electric Horseman, 1979, Brubaker in 1980, The Natural in 1984, and Out of Africa, in 1985. He later acted in Sneakers in 1992, All is Lost in 2013, Truth in 2015, Our Souls at Night in 2017, and The Old Man and the Gun, 2018. Redford portrayed Alexander Pierce in Captain America, The Winter Soldier in 2014, and Avengers Endgame in 2019, the last of which served as Redford's final on-screen appearance. From a personal standpoint, it was a wonderful experience being part of this experience 42 years ago. We arranged for the stars to find local homes rather than having them stay in hotels and local restaurants, including Oliver's, where the late Henry Guarino treated them like family. It was truly a special time in Buffalo's growing film industry and one of the best movies filmed here. You're listening to Reading and Articles and Features from Buffalo Rising on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Sail Buffalo taps into Buffalo's electrifying legacy. Sail Buffalo has had a banner year on a number of fronts. On one front, the sailing organization located near the Buffalo Lighthouse at the Outer Harbor across from Canalside has electrified one of their sailboats. The crew from Dale's Marine removed the gas-powered motor, upon which time it was retrofitted with a solar-generated electric sailboat motor from electric yachts. The revolutionary eco-powering system is a game-changer for sailboats, and Sail Buffalo is one of the first in the region to upgrade one of their vessels to this green technology. "It's the future of sailing," says Pierre Wallander, who founded Sail Buffalo and who teamed up with Buffalo's very own Azuna, all-natural plant-powered odor eliminator, to undergo the transformation. Azuna was the perfect fit for this. When we store the boat for the winter, Azuna keeps it from smelling musty. And this boat's cabin is so beautiful that we wanted to treat it with the respect that it deserves. This is the first electric inboard in our fleet. We can take 6 people for 6 hours at a 7.2 knot clip. We charge it once a week for Sail Buffalo's daily voyages. We feel that we are the pioneers of this new tech. When in neutral and we're underway sailing, the propeller generates electricity. We have solar panels on shore, and when we need to refuel, we simply plug in. By the end of the year, we save thousands of dollars. Not only is it environmentally friendly gas-wise, it runs silent so there's no noise pollution. This was a no-brainer for us, said Scott Dancy, CEO at Azuna. Our tea tree-based oils were featured on the hit show Below Deck with Captain Sandy when Pierre reached out and told us what he was doing. We felt that it was an excellent initiative. The sail on the vessel proudly features Azuna's name for everyone to see. As far as the business side of Azuna, all of our operations are in Buffalo, which is why we felt we wanted to do this in our hometown. Our headquarters is at Seneca One, located just across the harbor. Sail Buffalo has been around for over two decades. In that time, we at Buffalo Rising have featured the sailing organization numerous times, as every year they embark upon new and exciting projects. From building a series of colorful fishing huts that house a sail loft, surf shop, arts and crafts with running water, trading post, ship's library, and sawmill, to building out its latest sailing lesson asset, a new classroom. The organization continues to make tremendous headway in the realms of all things sailing. One of the biggest advancements on the Sail Buffalo front has been the sailing camp, which is headed up by Alexandra Wallander. This year's camping season was a huge success, with over 400 kids in attendance from all sorts of backgrounds. Boating experienced a significant surge in demand since the pandemic, said Wallander. Through word of mouth, we've been seeing an unprecedented amount of campers year after year for our junior sail camp. Campers learn skills such as rigging, hoisting, trimming, steering, tacking, jibbing, and even capsizing. The camp includes pizza parties, club racing, and graduation ceremonies. Kids love it, so do the parents, which is why it's growing so fast. Currently, Sail Buffalo has 12 sailboats, 12 keelboats, and 29 dinghies, among other vessels. The organization offers ASA classes, a boat access hour, a boat share, private cruises, and a Friends of Sail Buffalo opportunity. All of this can be found at sail-buffalo.org. The next time you think about Buffalo's waterfront, remember that Sail Buffalo has been one of the leaders when it comes to accessibility. Not only that, the organization has ingeniously powered and empowered this city to get back to the water in ways that we've not seen in our lifetime. After all, Buffalo's waterfront has only recently been transitioning from an economic and industrial hub to a recreational destination for water enthusiasts. Hence, there's never been a better time to get out onto the water. That's why Sail Buffalo is helping to lead the way towards a greener, safer, and more fulfilling waterfront experience. Note, construction watch at 875 Lafayette at Gates. Belmont Housing continues work on the northernmost three buildings of the former Millard Fillmore Gates Circle Hospital. 80 affordable apartments will fill the buildings that have been vacant since March of 2012 when Kaleida Health closed the hospital. Montane Group was selected to purchase and redevelop the site in late 2013. CJS Architects is designing the portion of the site purchased by Belmont. Amenities will include a community room with a kitchen area, laundry rooms, indoor bike storage, computer room, fitness room, and bulk storage for each unit. The central courtyard will include a playground and multiple seating. TM Montante Development will develop the southern portions of the former homeopathic hospital into a mix of uses, which is anticipated to include approximately 40 new apartments, as well as 15,000 square feet of new retail and commercial space. You've been listening to a reading of articles and features from Buffalo Rising. Your reader has been Chuck Stevens. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service with broadcast studios at 1199 Harlem Road in Cheektowaga. And now my mic was muted. Good morning. Welcome to another broadcast day. I'm the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, a private not-for-profit organization. As always, please stay with us.